Money Multipliers. Welcome back to another episode of the Money Multiplier Podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Kessler, and we ask ourselves, do our dollars make sense? So today's episode, we're here on episode 101. Today, I want y'all to go out and get your textbooks. All right, let me turn here. Hold on. Go get your textbooks. We're going to be talking through some chapters in Nelson Nash's book, Becoming Your Own Banker. And I like to teach from the fifth edition. So sometimes I'll get that question of, hey, what edition of book should I get? So the Nelson Nash Institute, they're selling fifth edition books. I know there's a sixth edition out there, and the only difference is that there's updated illustrations in that sixth edition. And actually, Nelson, I remember when he was still around, he says one of the biggest things that he wishes that he would change about his book is he wished he never would have put illustrations into it, because folks just get so fixated on illustrations and numbers. And again, it's all about the process of our banking and who controls the banking function, and not so much about the numbers, the illustrations, because when you're using your policy as your banking system, it's never going to illustrate how you see it on that original issuing illustration, because you're using it, you're taking out loans, you're putting money back, you're paying yourself back with interest, and all of those moving variables are going to fluctuate and increase how your banking system is really performing. So in today's episode, actually, it came from a client who was asking us the questions over on the implementation team. And if y'all don't know, so over here at the Money Multiplier, when folks hold a policy with us, they have the tools and the resources of our team, the mapping team, or sometimes I call them the iTeam implementation team, where we really help them use and implement their new policy that they have. So I'm going to coach you how to fish, okay? Because this is you owning your own family bank, and you need to know how to control and use the family bank. So that's why the implementation team is there, to help y'all use the policy. And this is a free service. I mean, we do it for all of our members, and we're having those ongoing meetings every quarter, 3 to 4 times a year. I always say, love me or hate me, but we're going to be lifelong friends from here on out, because I'm going to be checking on you. If I don't hear from you first, you're going to be getting a call from myself or your mapping specialist just checking in with you. And this is a service that we do for the life of the policy. So they asked me the question, okay, well, Hannah, I got my policy here, and when does it become the time that I am totally self-sufficient with my banking policy? Like, when can I just use my banking policy for everything that I am purchasing? Houses, automobiles, vacations. I'm using it to send the kids to college. I'm paying for my retirement using my policy. When does it become the time that I'm totally self-sufficient and I no longer have to rely on the commercial banks and the government any longer? And I thought it was a fabulous question, because we could go down a deep rabbit hole on this, and that's why I wanted to create a podcast episode on this question. So shout out to Lady, if you're listening to this, I won't put your name out there just for privacy reasons, but shout out to y'all for asking me these questions, because it really keeps me in tune with what information and ideas that y'all want more knowledge on. So real quick, before we get into it, if this is your first time here in my podcast, or even hearing the word the infinite banking concept, I would pause right here, go to the website, themoneymultiplier.com/presentation, and click the button where it says watch Brent now. And then that's going to take you to that 90-minute presentation where we get into the basics of this concept. And yes, you have 90 minutes to spare to better yourself and your financial health for you and your family, because this is about your financial future and your financial health. So you can put a pause on The Bachelor, American Idol, digital and all the different television networks and shows that you're watching right now to better your understanding about your financial life. So I wanted to bring up Nelson Nash's book because he gets into this quite often in his book here, and I kind of just want to read a few sections from his book, and I'm going to be bouncing back and forth between different chapters and different sections, and I'm going to be telling y'all my thoughts on this. So on it's on page 48, and this chapter is called Expanding the System to Accommodate All Income. It always sounds a bit strange to people when I say premiums and income should match. Let's start with a very basic fact. Doesn't all your money go through someone else's bank? When you get your paycheck, what do you do with it? You deposit it in someone else's bank. Then you write checks against it to buy the things you want in life. While it is in the bank, the banker lends your money to someone else and makes a good living doing so. So that's the first principle that I really want us to grasp, because sometimes y'all will ask me the question of, Hannah, do I have to keep paying these premiums? Why do I even want to keep putting premiums inside of my policy? And I'll be honest, I hate that question, because if you're asking me that question, you do not understand the banking business in your life quite yet. And I'm not bashing y'all. I get it, because you're still looking at the policy as it's a product, it's a debt, it's an expense to you, or a payment that you have to pay. But here's the mindset shift. We make our deposits into other people's banks. I say the word, everybody is so gung-ho to go make their deposits into other people's banks, but then they neglect their bank and their family banking system. So just take those same principles and habits that you're already doing with the commercial banks that are out there, and now you just pivot that and you make your deposits into your bank, where now you are the one who receives the profits, the income, the dividends that the bankers are making on you right now. And yes, a thought comes into mind, well, Hannah, I get this system and I get the concept and my mindset is totally shifted. Well, can I just totally eliminate the banks in my life? And the answer really is no. Okay, there's no way to totally eliminate the banks from our lives, because how money gets in and out of the policy is almost like an ACH, direct deposit. So dollars go from our bank account into policy. When we take out loans, it comes from the policy back to our bank account. But I can limit the amount of money I keep at the local bank. So I do personally 3 months of my overhead expenses. That's what I hold at my local bank account. Everything else is being stored within my policies if it's not out there working for me in some active investments that I have. So as time rolls on, one policy is never going to suit all of your banking needs. You are going to expand and you're going to start more policies as time goes on, because income is going to start rising, assets are going to start rising, that you're going to have a need to want to warehouse that wealth somewhere. And hopefully we're understanding now that we don't want to keep it down at the local banks and the bankers are controlling our money. So as time goes on, you are going to start expanding and starting more policies, and kind of think of it as you are opening up your branch office. This is my branch office of my bank. Just like how Bank of America, you can have a bank on Main Street and you can also have a bank on 7th Street. It doesn't matter what bank you go to, it's the same bank. It's just the branch office of that bank. And so the same thing happens here with the policies, that you can tap into any branch office that you have and take out the cash values to use for whatever you're financing for yourself right then at that point in time. So Nelson then continues on to say, wait, hold on. Actually, before I get into that, just let my ADD speak for a second. A question I get too, is, well, Hannah, well, why do I have to open up more and more policies? Wouldn't it just be a smarter idea that I keep putting more money into that already established bank that I have? And the answer is yes, I do agree with that. Max out the existing policies that you already have. Max out those paid up addition premiums that you can keep overfunding and capitalizing that policy with. But there's going to come a point in time where you're going to have to need to warehouse more of your wealth inside of that policy. And you're just not going to be able to keep throwing in more and more capital inside of it, because you're going to hit what's called the MEC limit. And I've done a whole episode on MEC before, so go check that out. But MEC is just an acronym for Modified Endowment Contract, and it's an IRS tax law. And how I want you to picture it, just how we cannot fit 16 ounces of water in a 12 ounce glass, you're going to overflow it. Same thing with the policy. You don't want to overflow or overstuff the policy, because if you do, then the government is going to look at that policy as an investment rather than an insurance contract. And then now they're going to start taxing us on it. And we don't want that. We want to keep the tax-free benefits and growth that's happening inside of that policy. So as time goes on, you can't just go into an existing policy and quote unquote increase the premiums. Yeah, you can pay more paid up addition premiums, or sometimes I call them more dump-ins inside of that existing policy, but we can't just go in there and increase the premium. So what we do is we just open up another policy, your branch office of your bank. Okay, so that's the why. That's why we have to start more and more. Let me read this little section here. It seems a little ridiculous, but my all-American man on page 17 is depositing all of his paycheck in a bank and then writing checks for 34.5% of every dollar to pay interest alone. I won't talk too deeply about that in today's episode, but y'all, it is not the rate of the interest that's killing us. It's the volume of the interest that we're sending out the door to other people. So if you understand amortization schedules and amortized interest, you will understand what I'm talking about, that in the early years, like just go look at your mortgage payments. Most of that money that you're paying on your mortgage is all going to interest alone and very little to the principal. He will never see that money again. It is gone forever. Why does he behave this way? Because no one has ever explained to him a better way of doing things. Now, here's what I underlined here. Once a pattern of life is learned in a culture, it is nigh unto impossible to change. His paradigm is fixed, set in concrete. The peer pressure in conventional wisdom is overwhelming. But that doesn't mean it can't be done. It doesn't mean that we can't fix our conventional thinking and our habits of what we've been taught. I mean, let's just talk about smokers, right? Back in the 80s or 70s. Or was it even earlier than that, 60s or 50s? I don't know. Do you remember how doctors were coming out and saying, hey, everybody, smoke those cigarettes. Those cigarettes are great for you. Keep smoking them. They're great for your health. But now we're seeing here in this 2024 year how bad smoking really is for ourselves, lung cancer and other health concerns that come about with smoking cigarettes and inhaling the tobacco and the nicotine. So with this, it's totally okay, and we can fix our habits of what we are doing within our life, but it takes some work, it takes some discipline, and we got to be committed to this discipline and this clarity that we have for ourselves. All right, I'm off of my high horse here. So he continues on to say, when he builds a banking system through life insurance, makes loans to himself to buy automobiles, specifically here, and pays back to the policy or policies the same payment he would have to pay a banking institution, then he makes what the banking institution would have made off of him. And it is all done on a tax-deferred basis. Let me just finish up. The interest he pays never leaves his account in control. If this is done consistently throughout his life, it will make a tremendous difference in his financial picture. So what Nelson is just saying is that, hey, y'all, you guys are going to go buy the shit in life anyways. Now that you know a smarter way to do it, go out there and practice the same principles and habits that you're already doing with the financial institutions and banks that we have here in America. But now just do it with yourself in your own banking system, because now you're creating this perpetual tailwind. Nelson talks about this very early on in his book here, Becoming Your Own Banker, but he talks about how it's now creating a perpetual tailwind that you are always going farther and farther ahead, because now you're using the power of uninterrupted compounding that's always going to happen inside of the policies. I talk about that a lot. And then also you are in control of what you want to use that money for. So, hey, if I go and I purchase a car, all right, I just did that with my sexy new little Bronco. So let's say when I did do this, I take a loan from my policy, I go down to the Ford dealership, and I say, okay, I want to purchase this Bronco, here is the payment for the Bronco, I'm paying it in full, and then now I'm just going to pay myself back, charging myself interest, and paying myself back inside of that policy, because I'm just going to take the same habits that if I were to go down and take a bank loan from what the Ford dealership people wanted me to take the bank loan from. Now I'm just going to do that and pay myself back rather than them. So now I'm the one who receives the profits, the interest on my money instead of them getting it on me. So I'm just going to practice the same habits. But now get this, I'm in control. Let's say that I'm out here on the road right now. Let's say that I'm walking along the side of the road and a car comes up on the sidewalk. I'm going to knock on wood. Don't let that happen. But the car is going to come up on the sidewalk and they're going to hit me. And then I break my leg. And so thus I'm just lounging around. I'm in recovery mode now. And maybe I'm not making income for the month or two. Okay. It's okay that I am in debt to myself and my banking system rather than the commercial banks, that they don't care what's going on in my life. They just care if they're going to get that monthly payment from me each and every month. And you bet your booty they're going to be charging me interest. And if I don't even pay it on time, I'm going to be getting hit with those late fees as well. So I would just rather be in debt to myself and my own banking system, where the loans on the policy are not required to get paid back, but I am. I'm going to practice honest banking with myself, but they're not required to get paid back. So God forbid if I just can't pay my payment back to myself for the month inside of my policy, it's okay, because Hannah's in debt to Hannah, and I'm not going to go and hire a tow truck and call the tow truck people on myself and repo my car right off my driveway. I'm not going to do that. If you really are going to do that, you're more cuckoo up here in the brain, and infinite banking is not going to solve all of your financial needs and your life needs, right? So I just want to point out that we have lost this concept through consumer mindsets and capitalism. Okay, we have just been taught to consume, rather than being disciplined and having the control to better ourselves and be disciplined with the wealth building tools that we have out here. Especially just life insurance as a whole life policies too. specifically. I mean, there's just some negative talk when it comes to whole life policies because these big mainstream financial gurus that are out there are saying, hey, don't do that. It's just expensive life insurance. That's all it is. A whole life policy is just expensive life insurance, and it's only there for when you're dead. No, we are just not taught the power of what a whole life policy truly is. And when properly designed, you will have cash value that's made available immediately inside of that policy that you can pull and leverage it, pull out the equity to then continue on with what you're financing for yourself right now. So a few other notes that I have. We have been so infatuated with living for today that the importance of saving or creating capital lost value. Ooh, I like that one, Hannah. You're kind of a smart girl, Hannah. So anyways, yes, I talk about this a lot too, but it's the whole microwave mentality, the drive-through mentality. We want everything right now, instant gratification. And if you don't value delayed gratification and you don't value the long haul and you're just living for today. Yes, I think it's important to live for today. I mean, trust me, you're talking to a freaking hippie right now, but I think it is important to live for today, but it's also just as important to plan for the future. You know, actually, it kind of brings up a quote that my dad has always taught me. He says, a failure to plan is a plan to fail. Whew! Pops, you got some smart little nuggets in you. I thought you were kind of dumb all these years when I was a teenager growing up. But Dad, as I get older, you know your crap. So we got to plan for the future. And we can't just always just be living for today. Yes, it's important to live today and live in the moment. But it is just as important to plan for the future. So delayed gratification comes with these policies. Whether we like it or not, we got to capitalize our banking system and we got to make those deposits in there. And no, we're not going to have access to dollar for dollar quite yet as cash value. But I'm doing this because I know in the long haul, I'm going to be so much farther ahead than my neighbors and my peers. All right, what else did I write? I said the savings rate in America is 2-3%. As a result, we must overcome to others. Oh, excuse me. We must outsource to others. Got you. I see what I'm saying here. So basically, the savings rate here in America is 2-3%. Actually, before even like the recession of 2008, it was actually negative. We were actually in a negative savings rate. But now, since that happened, people understand the importance of setting aside dollars for unforeseen circumstances. I mean, crap, let's see what we just saw here in 2020 with the COVID times. It's important that we have that capital set aside for the catastrophes that could happen in life. We get laid off. We're not going to work for several months or years, right? So if we don't plan, it goes back to that same saying, I guess, a failure to plan is a plan to fail. So if we're only saving that 2-3%, that's why we have to outsource it to other people, banks, others, private lenders, to help us finance for some of these purchases that we want to make because we just don't have it for ourselves. So treat yourself as your number one asset. Pay yourself first. All right. Americans have not been vigilant nor informed. You are not a slave to the government. You will always be at mercy to ones that have the gold. All right, I remember what I was saying here with this. Actually, and that's a solid point as well. People think that we, the people, work for the government. But if you go back through the Constitution, the government works for us, the people. And I don't want to get political here, but it is very powerful to understand that, no, we are not slaves to the government. The government are workers for us, the people. And so sometimes we kind of miss that because we think that they're this high, powerful, higher up ruling, and we just kind of neglect ourselves and really the power that we, the people, have. So again, I'm not going to reinvent the wheel. I'm just going to mimic and imitate what the elite and the wealthy are doing here. So If you do not have the gold, you are not the one making the rules. Go and read Nelson Nash's chapter, The Gold Rule, and this is one of his habits that he teaches in his book. But if you are not the one who has the gold, you simply cannot make the rules, because the one who has the gold makes the rules. So I want to have the gold where I can dictate what I'm going to be doing rather than relying on other folks, where I'm playing in their game rather than them playing in my game. I mean, that's kind of why I like private lending so much, because I'm the banker. I'm in control of these transactions. So I think I want to flip to page, hold on, I have it checkmarked here, page 25, okay, to kind of like get back on course with this question here, you know, hey, when do we totally become self-sufficient in our banking system? This is what Nelson Nash says in his book, and let me give you my feedback before I get into Nelson's teachings. You can go as fast or as slow with this concept as you want. You get to decide the premiums that you want to put into your policy. You can start with less premium. You can start with more premium. You can start more policies, not start with more. Just keep the one and have that cruising for years. So you are really in control of how fast or how slow you go with this concept. And that's why sometimes people ask me, well, Hannah, your dad, Brent, he was able to pay off almost $1 million of debt in 39 months. I mean, how in the hell did he do that? That seems like a lot of freaking debt, and he paid it off in 36 months. It's really, really fast. And I kind of make the joke, well, once you get to know my father, you'll understand that it's easier for him to go like 100 miles an hour than it is to go like 10. So that's all Dad did. He just started more premium. He started more policies, and he was just starting more in the early years to get him to the point where now he's got like 28 policies and he purchases one every single year. So he just went faster with it. That's all that he does. If you go back to our presentation, you know, because that's actually a real life example that we use, that map presentation, where how we use the policy to go and pay off the debt. It's one of Dad's old chiropractic colleagues, and we show that example where Doc was putting in $25,000 a year into his policy, and he was able to pay it off in 6 years. Well, what if he went slower with it? What if instead of 25, he cut it in half, he did 12,500? Well, it would just take him twice as long, instead of 6 years, 12 years, to accomplish the goal of paying off that almost $470,000 of debt. Well, what if you want to go faster with it? All right, instead of 25 a year, I'm going to do 50,000 a year inside of my policies. Well, now it's just going to take him twice as fast to go and pay off all of that debt. So how fast or how slow you go with this stuff is truly up to you. And I think that's the awesome, most amazing thing about this concept, is you have the power to control and dictate how fast, how slow, what you're using the money for, because now you are in total ownership and control of what you're doing with yourself and your financial life. Okay, but let me kind of read some more like highlighted sections here. My word, and this is on page 24. My word. If you will take an honest look at what this young man is now doing, paying over 35% of every dollar of after-tax income to interest alone, it should be obvious that his need for finance is much greater than his need for life insurance protection. That's one thing that these financial gurus kind of get messed up, that no, I'm not buying my policies for death benefit protection. Yeah, I care about my kitty cats who are my children and charitable organizations that I donate to, but I'm not too concerned about the death benefit. I want to use my money today, because I can't get buried in the ground with my money and take it with me to my next cycle of life. So if he would solve for the need for finance through dividend-paying life insurance, he would automatically have much more life insurance and recover all of the interest he is now paying to someone else. So what Nelson is saying is, right, to go back to the other chapter, income, as income rises, premiums should also rise. Income and premium should equal. But as this time goes on, that is how we are stacking on this death benefit one after the other. Nelson would even say in his live teachings, your need for financing cash is much greater than the need for life insurance. And if I can solve your need for financing cash while you're living, you'll have enough death benefit to leave to your family and heirs. Because as time goes on, we're going to start more policies. You can have multiple policies on yourself and on your body. And when that time comes, when we're stacking up these policies, that's how the death benefit will start to stack on top of each other as well. So here's another little highlighted section. Here comes the important part again, so pay close attention. The insurance agent now needs to make him vividly aware that he must pay the loan back at an interest rate that is at least equivalent to the going interest rates of an automobile finance company. So, and again, this is where Nelson talks about his car example and the interest that we pay, but not even the car example, but you should, if you are going to borrow from yourself, pay yourself back and charge yourself back with interest. And the more aggressive you are with the interest, it just means more money back inside of your pockets anyways. If you've been following me for some time, you know that the Bank of Hannah, I charge myself at least 10% interest to borrow from my bank. And it's just because I want to be aggressive with it and I want to play honest banker. And it just is going to mean more money back inside of my pockets anyways. Furthermore, I am not describing one life insurance policy. This is to be a system of policies. Have you not noticed that when a grocery store becomes successful in one location, then it tends to establish another store in another location? Have you not noticed that banks have branch offices? There must be a reason for their behavior. Then why not expand your own potential by buying all the life insurance on yourself that the companies will issue? And then on all the persons in which you have an insurable interest on. At present, does not all your income go through the books of some banking institution? Don't the banks lend out the deposits of customers? All they do is capitalize the bank to make it a safe place for customers to deposit their money and then lend out the money left on deposit. If they don't lend the money, they will go out of business. Now, here's the key component that led me to this episode. It will take the average person at least 20 to 25 years to build a banking system through life insurance to accommodate all of his own needs for finance, his autos, home, etc. But once such a system is established, it can be passed on to further generations as long as they can be taught how the system works and suppress their bias instincts to go out the back door of the grocery store, or in a word that is more descriptive, steal. So Nelson talks that it should take anywhere from 20 to 25 years to really create that banking system for yourself and your life. To finance everything, houses, automobiles, paying the taxes, income for retirement, etc., etc. So I have a belief that you can go as fast with this or as slow with this as what you want. You can get there faster or it can take you longer. But 20 to 25 years is kind of that average to totally self-sufficient. I'm saying that really weird. But to be totally self-sufficient with your own banking system to finance everything in life. So myself, I've been doing this now going on 7 years. So I got some time. I got 7 of my own policies that I use, and I got more time that I'm going to keep opening up more of my branch offices in my bank. I'm going to be putting more premiums. I'm not afraid to capitalize my banking system. And I'm going to keep doing this as I go through life and I purchase more and more things for myself. And some of y'all are probably thinking to yourself, well, Hannah, that's nice because you're young. You're only 24. How is this really going to help me over here in my 50s? Well, it does and it can. Wouldn't you rather pass on this financial literacy and knowledge to your next generation who, yeah, has more time than you, who can practice this banking system in their life longer than you, and it's just because of age, but you finance every single transaction that you buy. Totally exclude being self-sufficient out of this. You finance every single transaction that you buy. You either give up the interest you could have earned, aka paying cash on things, or you give the interest to other institutions, banks, Wall Street, etc. So now that you know a smarter way to go and buy the things that you're already going to go buy in life, just use the policy to do so. Oh, and the cherry on top of the cake, there's that permanent death benefit that's going to be there, and that's the windfall that's going to get paid out to your next generation after that time comes where you graduate from this earth. So I'm telling y'all, I just don't think there's a more powerful financial instrument that's out there than the power of a properly structured whole life policy. Yeah, I'm a little biased, and it's just because of how impactful this has been for myself and my own family's life. I'm talking to y'all from my $120,000 plus conversion van because IBC is what bought this for me. I went out, I bought the van, I hired a guy to do the whole build out in here, and now I'm living my best life, traveling around on the road, teaching this concept, talking to people, seeing the country, seeing the world, and I'm just grateful for this stuff, to have the freedom of time and money and resource to do the things that I truly want in life. So I challenge y'all. I really want you guys to be disciplined with your banking system and don't stop. Don't quit. When you know that this stuff is so damn powerful, you should be taking this and you should be preaching it to other people as well. So there's going to be milestones of independence that happens here using the policy, and there's the timeline to the freedom that we're going to be seeing. Again, it's delayed gratification when we're talking about these policies. And then we're going to be living our dream. We're going to be living our dream, and we're going to be taking our path forward, and that we're going to always, always, always just be able to do whatever we please because we are now in control of this. So I know I'm kind of getting up there on my soapbox right now, but I just feel so passionately about this. And I think everybody just needs to hear this message. Sure, I get it. Actually, this is something that I picked up at my mastermind that I do with all my women. But you know, I get it. People are going to only hear what you're telling them because they're only going to meet you at where they are at right now. I mean, if people are not open to new ideas and receptive to new information, I mean, you can't change their habits and you can't change their ways. I love ya. I'm gonna be here for ya, but I just can't take financial advice from you because you are not wanting to expand your knowledge base of what you've been conventionally taught to be the slaves of banks and government and other financial institutions. So hopefully this helped for y'all. I do recommend rereading Nelson Nash's book, Becoming Your Own Banker. Reread it at least one time a year. I try to do two times a year. Also, it's on audio. Y'all, you know what I noticed though? My van that I bought in 21, this is a 2021 Ram ProMaster. It doesn't have a freaking audio CD player. That's what it's called. I just showed my age there. It doesn't have a freaking CD player in here. And I'm like, ugh. So thankfully, I got the Bluetooth. I got Audible. I can go and download the books that I want. And I can listen to the books as I'm driving down the road and different podcasts that I like. But I encourage y'all just to go back to the basics because all of the answers lie within Nelson Nash's teachings. And I just challenge you to keep elevating yourself, elevating your mind, and learning something that's new. All right, I know it's getting dark around here, so hopefully the lighting is not too terrible out there on YouTube. And sorry to my editors. I didn't bring my ring light with me on the road. But when I get back home, y'all, you guys are gonna be so pleased with the new setup. It's gonna be so freaking cool. I got a lot of new ideas and furniture that I'm buying and different backdrops and things like that. Actually, I got an episode coming up here soon with our mapping team lead. His name is Larry, and Larry and I are gonna, he's gonna come down to Florida. We're gonna get into some different topics of what happened on the implementation and the mapping team, so stay tuned for those episodes. And I didn't want to start the episode with this PSA, so maybe my editors will put this at the front of the episode, maybe they'll keep it back here at the end. But unfortunately, it was a tough week, I'll be honest. I had a very tough week because we got a phone call from the hotel in Nashville. So there's something going on in the hotel. We're down in the garage. They have to replace some of these copper, and I don't think they're lead pipes. I think they told me copper pipes. I kind of like tuned out why they had to cancel because I was just so distressed at that time. But they did call us up and they had to cancel all events from March to May. So unfortunately, the Money Multiplier Mastermind, the dates are going to be moved. By the time this episode gets released, we will already know the new dates and we'll be talking about it there. But I just wanted to apologize to the community. It broke my heart this week, and I hopefully y'all understand. We've been putting a lot of thought and work and effort into creating the best mastermind experience for y'all. And I don't know, my mom called me up because I was kind of telling my team, well, okay, if this hotel can't do it, let's go find another hotel that will accommodate us. And I just received a call from my mom, and she says, Hannah, I think this is a sign from God and the universe that you should maybe just change the dates of the mastermind. There's a reason that this happened. So I think you should go in there, change and update the dates, and it will all work out. We're going to get it done. We're going to do it this year, but I think we should go in and just change the dates so that it will be accommodating maybe to more people. Maybe that's why God, the universe, goddess, whoever you believe in, maybe that's why this happened. But I do believe in things that happen are for a reason. So I'm sorry to my community for hyping it up, and just getting that phone call just totally broke my heart. So I just want y'all to know that we are coming back better than ever, and we're going to have a great mastermind this year. So the date should be posted by the time this episode comes out, but I just really appreciate y'all in the community, and thank you for being here and tuning in. All right, now it's getting really, really dark. All right, we'll catch y'all later. I'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.